Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Great to have your company here on Sports Day. Carl Langdon and Adam Papalia with you for the next couple of hours. We've got a jam-packed show. We've got plenty of great guests. Justin Lepich is going to join us from the Richmond Football Club. Luke Ryan, who is the fairest and best from the Frio Dockers out of 7 o'clock tonight. Scotty Sattler to preview the NRL Grand Final. Andy Keogh, who returns to our Perth Glory. And Gavin Migro to talk about all of the motorsport news, because we've had already a massive crowd turnout to the Burnouts down there at the Perth Motorplex last weekend. Well, next weekend is opening night when it comes to Speedway. I'll be down there calling all of the action. Not only Speedway, you've got Speedway drag racing, and we've also got Burnouts all happening on the same afternoon. So we look forward to telling you more about that as the night goes on. 922-11882 is our number. Now, Adam and I are looking for your grand final tips. It's grand final eve, everyone. Your grand final tips. Who's going to win? What the margin's going to be? And who your Norm Smith nomination is? And whoever gets it right, or as close as possible, is going to win our Caller of the Day prize, thanks to Gage Roads, a pack including a couple of cartons of beer. 922-11882. While you're doing that, news headlines for car sales, number one for cars. Paps and I are going to go through that. Good evening to you, mate.
Good evening to you, Carl. It is exciting. I normally, at this time of the year, or it's probably a month earlier than this time of the year, say grand final eve. It feels like Christmas Eve because we've got the big game coming up the next day. The build-up's been a bit different this year, clearly. But I think the excitement levels are really starting to build now with Geelong and Richmond about to go at it tomorrow. Has felt a bit different without a grand final parade today, but once that ball is bounced tomorrow, it's going to be on. And hopefully we get a great grand final. After everything everyone's been through this year, after everything the clubs have had to go through just to get this season underway, hopefully we get a classic grand final tomorrow.
It feels weird for you and I, because normally, mate, we're rubbing shoulders over there with everyone in Melbourne where the grand final's going to be played, and we're getting ready to call the game. And I heard Brad Hardy earlier, who's going to be calling his 28th here on R82 6PR. I think I've done 20 of them in the 25 years that I've been, I have the opportunity and the pleasure, and you know, I'm very grateful for the job that I've had here on 6PR doing what we do. But for you, mate, in something that you do really well, and that's call footy, and you love calling your footy, to actually not be in amongst it, not even to be able to fly to Brisbane to go and watch the game, mate, without coming home and being like people just locked up in our own homes when we come back. I mean, that's been the biggest problem, hasn't it?
It did cross my mind a couple of times. I was like, oh, can I swing 2 weeks in quarantine getting back with two young children? No, probably not.
But you could
not
do it at home, couldn't you?
What's that?
Were you allowed to? Because not international travel. I think
don't
you're
know,
allowed
depends,
to serve
no,
2 weeks at home.
No, it depends if you get an exemption or not, I think.
Really? Yeah, that's the hardest part, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not worth it for that. And I'm going to enjoy just kicking back. And
yeah, you're going to your mate's place. I'm going to the Barrel House. Now, Jacko is going to join me there as well tomorrow afternoon after working at 6PR. So we've got a big lead up to the game. It gets underway from 1 o'clock, everyone, tomorrow. So we've got a number of our team that are going to be rotating through until the start of the game, given our situation with us not being able to be there. So looking forward to engaging with all of you on that front. But car sales, number one for cars. There's been so much going on. Perth Scorchers have announced the signing finally of Jason Roy.
Been trying to get that out of Adam Boges for a couple of weeks. He wouldn't give it to you the other day. He said an Englishman, but we knew who he was talking about.
Yeah, well, Haggers has spoken about it for a couple of weeks, hasn't he? But over 200 T20, strike rate of 147.51. If he brings the form of his recent series over there in England, he will be absolutely magnificent. The girls start their campaign, the Scorchers women, on Sunday. They play the Brisbane Heat as they get underway at North Sydney Oval in the Hub, 7:20 Western Standard Time in the morning, Paps. That's when it starts. I'll be talking some gardening, I think, at that time on Sunday morning. West Coast Fever cut Kalia Stanton after 7 seasons. She's not been able to get herself a regular spot, being a shooter and being one that's been kept out by Danielle Fowler, who you can't begrudge what she's been able to do for our West Coast Fever. And Alice Teague-Neild was a revelation this year.
Yeah, I think Teague-Neild's the spot particularly that she was definitely battling with. So she moved moves on, but you know, it creates opportunities. I think with a lot of movement around Super Netball, there's going to be opportunities at other teams.
Norm Smith judging panel has been revealed. Lee Matthews, Malcolm Blight, Lauren Arnell, who works for the ABC, Damien Barrett for AFL.com, and Peter Ryan for, I think, the Age newspaper. We've got the Perth Glory have signed another player, a central defender, Daryl Lockman. We'll ask Andy Keogh a little bit more about him a little bit later on. And what else? Oh, no change to the teams.
Just the last thing to mention.
Hey? No change.
I think that's the thing that's felt the weirdest. And looking forward to getting everyone's predictions with that great Gage Rhodes pack up for grabs for the winner of the grand final tomorrow, Margin and Norm Smith medalist as well. I think that the stranger thing about this week is there's been no issues at the tribe that we were sweating on for a couple of days with players in danger of missing out on a grand final, and there's been really no injury concerns either. I know Tom Hawkins was a little bit ill earlier in the week, but he was not going to miss the game unless he had tested positive.
You know what all the talk's
COVID.
Been about? The weather. I just heard Scotty talking about it. Gil says, don't worry about the weather. Whatever they say doesn't eventuate anyway. But
as long as there's no lightning. Rain is fine. The lightning will just throw everyone's plans out because it'll delay the game.
That'll stuff things up.
Hopefully. We hope it goes well.
A car sells every 30 seconds on car sales. Your turn, everyone. Join in. Take us through for as long as you like. Anything else that you want to talk about in sport, if you've got something that you've heard or if there's something that we haven't spoken about that you'd like to throw into the discussion, you're more than welcome to join us on this program. You always are. And Mark in East Freo joins us first. G'day, Mark.
G'day, boys. Yeah, I'm keeping Richmond by 21 points and Dustin Martin to win his third Norm Smith.
Ooh. He'd be the first person in history to win three Norm Smiths if he can do it, Dusty. And the thing is with Dustin Martin, Carl, is he doesn't even need to be the best player on the ground to win the Norm Smith medal, I think, because the judges, as maybe they were the first year that he won the Norm Smith because he'd won the Brownlow as well. Just give him a couple of extra votes just because he's Dusty.
So that was that 21 points that Mark said?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So I had to give my predictions in the newspaper on Sunday. So I went Richmond, I went 19, and I went Dusty. So there you go. Mark's not far off what I had predicted previously. Donnie is always a keen contributor to this program. Good evening to you, mate.
Good evening, boys. Look, Dusty should never win the first one anyway. Professor Hooley was by far best on the field.
That's what I was alluding to, Donnie.
Good on you, mate. You're the good judge, Pep. I'll go the Cats, 15 points, and I'll go for the West Aussie boy. Mitch Duncan.
Yeah, Duncan just seems to get under the radar, even though he's a wonderful player. I mean, that last final he played, he had 22 touches, didn't score a goal, but had 9 score involvements. He's just so crucial to Geelong scoring. Quite often he does get on the scoreboard off his own boot.
Yeah, well, I think it's Dusty and Mitch Duncan that are both vying for the Coaches Association Player of the Finals Award as well. It's pretty much only those two, given their performances through the first three games, that can take that out, depending on how they go tomorrow. So, Mark, our first caller, was pretty much equal with what you'd tip, Carl. Strange, is it a full moon out tonight? Because I'm pretty much equal with Donnie in terms
of my
predictions. I said Geelong. I'm tipping with my gut, probably not my head, with Geelong tomorrow by 10 points. Donnie said 15, and I had Duncan down for the Norm Smith as well.
Righto, Sam, just ahead of the break, more of your predictions for the grand final tomorrow. A couple of cartons of beer, thanks to Gage Rhodes, are up for grabs. G'day, Sam.
G'day, gentlemen. How we going? Great afternoon today, Carl. At the Hyatt. Enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, good. You were there, yeah. What did you learn anything?
I learned that Nick Nat's got a twin brother.
you didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Anyway, being a Bob supporter, yeah, I was still here. We enjoyed it. Great afternoon, though. It was really good. Something different.
Good, mate.
I'm tipping Geelong because of Gary Ablett Jr. and Harry Taylor retiring, maybe, by 11 points.
Yeah.
And one more question. Do you think Gary Ablett Sr. will be saying anything to Gary Ablett Jr. for the game tomorrow?
No, I don't think that. But who's your Norm Smith before we...
Dangerfield.
Righto. So danger on that front. So did you say? Do you think Gary Ablett Senior will be taking Junior to?
Or saying anything to him?
To him.
His last game that Gary Ablett will play. Would he be enforcing it anyway? Because his father had a great game in '89 on his last, or Gilly's last game, was it? I think in 89.
He went for a few more seasons after that. He was still playing in grand finals in 92-94 against West Coast.
Okay, yeah. I just want to know what sort of... You know, I love history of the AFL, that's all. And I think Gary Ablett Senior might have a few words to Gary Ablett Junior on his last game as well. Get it going.
Mate, you're asking me a question I can't give you the answer to. We'd have to ask Gary Ablett, and maybe we can if we get a chance to have a yak to him after the game.
Keep an eye out, see if he posts any long speeches on social media.
Yeah, we better clear a commitment because time's getting away from us. 17 after 6. Bruce, Dave and Terry, you're first in the queue after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Great to have your company. So many calls. Let's whip through them. We go to Bruce in Duncraig. G'day, Bruce.
Good evening, guys. Let's hope we have a great grand final. But more importantly, I think Richmond, the Tigers, by 29 points. Shane Edwards for the Norm Smith.
He's been an amazing big game player. He was awesome the other day. Booted a couple of goals. Last week it was Lambert. They just able to share so much. Justin Lepich, it's going to be a question I'll throw at him about, you know, blokes just standing up and doing their roles.
I think those players that can chip in and kick two or three really crucial goals definitely go up in estimations when it's coming to Norm Smith adjudication. So, yeah, Shane Edwards, I think, is a really good option for people to try and tip.
Thanks, Bruce. To Dave in the Vines. G'day, Dave.
Oh, good evening, guys. Looking for Richmond by 9 points in a close one, and Dustin Martin for the Norm Smith.
Do you like watching Dusty play, Dave?
Oh, mate, he's like probably one of the most complete players we've had. I'm a Matt Friel fan, mate, and like I think he's probably a little. I think he's even better than that five, to be honest.
What about you, Paps?
Yeah, I love watching him play. Just the things he can do. The way he can kick the ball and curl it off the outside of his boot to change the angles up is quite amazing. He does it better, I think, than anyone else in the competition.
What about the fend?
Obviously, the dusty fend off is good. But don't argue. There was a good yarn today. I read, might have been on the AFL website, perhaps the Herald Sun, but just about how Richmond always wanted to draft Dustin Martin when they did. Melbourne had the top two picks. If you remember back to that game where Richmond and Melbourne were playing off and Jordan McMahon, I was actually calling that game that day, Jordan McMahon kicked a goal, I think it was, to give the Tigers the victory, which meant that Melbourne got a priority pick, so they got the first two, and that's where all the tanking issues came out of for the Demons after that game. But the Melbourne went for Scully and Trengove as 1-2, and Richmond always wanted Dustin Martin, and they got their man. So, and it's turned out pretty well.
Turned out very well. Terry and Marangaroo, g'day, mate.
Yeah, good evening, fellas. How are you doing? Good. My tip is Geelong by 23 with Patrick Dangerfield to win the Norm Smith.
Now, he's a pretty good-looking player too, isn't he?
He's not too bad, yeah.
Yeah. Quality bloke too. You know, we had a chat to him the other day.
Well, I was chatting with Gareth Parker this morning, and there was quite a lot of listeners called up saying they don't really like Patrick Dangerfield very much.
Why?
Well, that's why I don't quite get it. They don't like the way he goes about it. But he's got a bit of personality, and he talks himself up. He's a confident chap. I don't mind him at all. I think he's a great player to watch.
He's very articulate. He's doing, I think, a great job as the advocate for the players, as their representative when it comes to, you know, the players' part in the game. And I think he's done a really good job.
Doesn't mind taking the mickey out of himself either.
No. And he loves his fishing, which is why I like him even more. Brad joins us. G'day, Brad.
Oh, g'day, guys. I think the previous guy stole me thunder. I was going to go Cats by 19 and Paddy Dangerfield as well for the Norm Smith. I just thought last week I saw the cream rising with the Cats, and I reckon I saw the eye of the tiger in Paddy. He looked very serious, and I reckon he's going to play a burster.
Do you like him?
Oh, beautiful player. He's just wonderful ambassador, but just you get 100% every day. He's great.
Good on you, Brad. Thank you, mate. Phil in Madeley. G'day, Phil.
I hope it's a good game. I reckon that Geelong win by 9 points, and I think Patrick Dangerfield will win the Norm Smith, and you have every single medal known to man and AFL level, I reckon, by tomorrow afternoon. That's my tip.
He'll join Dusty in that club. Simon Black. There's a few others that have done it as well. Won pretty much every medal that is available, apart from a Coleman, of course.
Chris Judd, did he win one?
Yep.
Did he win a...
He won Norm Smith.
Yeah.
In a losing grand final.
Damien in Stoneville. G'day.
G'day, boys. I'm like your last caller. I'm Geelong by 9 points. I've got Guthrie as the Norm Smith. I think he's going to play on Dusty as possibility. So if, and it's a big if he can if he can keep him quiet, he might be a sneaky chance to get a Norm Smith. And so far as Dangerfield goes, some people that say they don't like him, I tell you what, mate, if he was on their team, they'd love him.
Yeah, I think the difference is that this is not going to actually be voted for by the umpires, so we've got to take that in consideration. We've got it, a good spread of both media and former legends of the game, Lee Matthews and Malcolm Blight, going to be voting on the best player on the day. And I think that, you know, Guthrie in his own rights had a remarkable season. He's had a real breakout. He's been super consistent, all Australian, so much of the ball. Hasn't really played that tagging role. So, you know, I'll be surprised if he actually does go to Dusty. But, you know, Geelong have to do something to try and quell his influence. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's a Sam Simpson or even Colin Jasny getting the job.
Well, there's some speculation about Joel Selwood perhaps going to Dusty.
Well, he tried to do a job last week on Lachie Neale.
Yeah. And he did pretty well at the start of the game, at least, before Lachie Neale was able to break through.
Did all right.
The interesting, I'd be a bit worried about Joel Selwood marking Dustin Martin, because I think Martin's just such a power athlete. But if anyone could do it, I guess it's Captain Courageous, isn't it, in Joel Selwood, who's aiming for a fourth flag.
All right, we'll clear some commitments. Keep the calls coming. Pete, Richard and Mick, you're next.
Duh.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Hey, Doc, won the Manikato Stakes 2 tonight, and, of course, the big Cox Plate tomorrow, and you'll hear it about 1:15 when I'm in the studio previewing the AFL Grand Final tomorrow, so look forward to your company then. From 1, we will be broadcasting in the lead-up to the game if you just joined us here on Sports Day. Dom and Success is online. G'day, Dom.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, we're good.
I reckon the Cats 19 points tomorrow, and Mitch Duncan to win the Norm Smith. I'd love to see Gary win it in his last game, but I think Mitch Duncan will win it.
Well, I'll tell you what, he was pretty good in the last game he played. He had 10 score involvements, kicked a couple himself. I mean, the amazing part is that the contribution, even though he's not getting the ball anywhere near as much, is that what he does do is really creative. And we know how good he's been, and we know he's a smart thinker, and he can just get himself into positions that most of us have never been able to be perfectly honest, Dom. So, no, I'm really looking forward to seeing what sort of contribution that he and probably Harry Taylor too. Don't be surprised if it's Harry Taylor's last game, win, lose, or draw. Let's go to Peter in Mindari. G'day, Pete.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm going for Geelong by 11 points and Dangerfield. I'm just looking forward to the game under the lights. I think it'll be great. And also, I think Geelong's final series in the last couple of games, like Collingwood, I didn't take that. I think it took a lot out of them. And then to beat Brisbane with the home crowd, I just think it's got to be their day tomorrow.
Yeah, good tip. I think the night grand final is going to be an intriguing one. Bit of talk from Gil McLaughlin that they're clearly going to look at that for next season as well. The light show that they have, Cochrane Entertainment, which is actually run by Tony Cochrane, who's the chairman at the Gold Coast Suns, they're the ones putting on all the extravaganza tomorrow. There's some Aussie bands in there. I have no idea who they are, Carl, but I think it's going to be good. I know the lead singer from Wolf Mother's in it, Andrew Stockdale. That's about the only one. But all the crowd that walk in there tomorrow are going to be given these wristbands, which are then synced up as part of the light show, which that will be pretty cool to watch tomorrow.
Yeah, Tony Cochrane, I think, looked after me when Bluey was coach. He put me under Tony and he got me into one of those high-rise bloody things on the Gold Coast. Nice. It wasn't bad. Had to pay, but got a little bit of a discount. Let's go to Richard. G'day, Rich.
Boys, I think it'll be a draw, so we'll be all back here next week talking about it, and Bashir-Hooley win the Norm Smith.
Well, no, we won't be back next week, mate, because they actually go to extra time now.
Well, when they change it, I thought the grand final was the only one they replayed.
No, they don't play
they
that anymore.
They changed it in 2011 after what happened
2010,
in 2010.
When Carl couldn't call the other grand final because he was on holidays, Adam, like many others.
Adam was very happy about that fact.
So, no, mate, so someone's going to win. Let's go to Mick and June. Dana, g'day, Mick.
G'day, guys. I reckon the Tigers by 14 and Dion Prestia for the medal.
Yeah, he's, again, a player that just gets so much of the ball. Blokes that get a lot of the footy are always going to be in the frame. It's whether the group of people that are picking it will look at some of the crucial jewels, like if there's a lockdown defender, someone's able to do the job, like a Harry Taylor on Lynch or Revolt.
Lockdown, no. If they take a lot of intercept marks like Brian Lake did that year, then perhaps. But no, I don't think a tag or a lockdown player will get it. You got to have some
sort
of...
What about a key forward that kicks five?
Then that's completely different because you get the glory. You get
the tomahawk. No one said the hawk yet. He's been playing pretty well this year. Probably the best he's ever played.
Quieter in the finals though.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Paul who joined us. G'day, Paul.
Hey, g'day, guys. How you going? Listen, I've got a bit of a mystery one for you at the end. No mystery here. Geelong, 45 points. Ablett won a Brownlow up there at night time playing. I reckon he's going to kick five and win the norm. Here's my mystery. God, what's his name? I've forgot his name.
It's a mystery.
Dustin Martin's dad, is he going?
I wouldn't think so.
No, he's in... He got extradited, mate. He's in New Zealand.
Yeah, but didn't they try to get him back last time?
No, he's not allowed in.
All right. Just thought I'd throw that in there for a bit of conversation for you.
Thanks.
Just to Geelong. Test us. Just to test us out. So Geelong by 45 and Gazza's going to kick five. Well, I mean, he can. That's the thing. Gary Ablett could kick five. And don't be surprised if he does. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
If he kicks five in a grand final, he wins the Norm Smith. Does he keep going again next year?
No. He's already decided.
Change your mind?
No. You can, but he won't. Mate, he's 36 going on 37, mate. You know, it's like he's...
Here's the difference in the last final.
He's got other things in his life that he's going to move into. I think he's already made it very clear that that's what he's going to do. So, I mean, you can't begrudge him moving on. Look, we've had a...
On our straw poll so far, 9 votes Geelong and only 4 for Richmond, if my math is correct, which very rarely isn't.
Do you reckon most of those people are tipping on hope rather than...
Possibly. I think there's a lot more goodwill out there for the Cats because of a few different reasons. The Tigers have been unsociable this season. They've won it 2 out of the last 3 years, and I think people just want to see a different premier and shared around a little bit more and for the fairy tale reasons like Gary Ablett.
All right. We have a big show planned tonight, and for those of you that didn't join us off the top of the program, after 7 we will be having a chat to Scotty Sattler, who hosts Sports Day on the East Coast. It is the NRL Grand Final, which will be live on Channel 9 on Sunday. That's on the telly, of course, at ANZ Stadium, and it's the Penrith Panthers taking on the Melbourne Storm. Storm going as favourites, but Penrith are shooting for some history. They're going for 21 wins in the season, something they haven't achieved since 2003.
Well, we've been talking about tipping with our head and our heart. It'll be interesting to see what Scotty says, being a former Penrith man himself. So whether he'll actually tip the Storm or whether he'll be going for his club.
I reckon he's got a soft spot, but anyway, we'll find out. Dan in Kingross. G'day, Dan.
G'day, James. How are you?
Good.
Right, so I'm tipping. I think Geelong for the first 2.5 quarters are going to be in front. I think... However, Grimes is going to give Hawkins an absolute bath. He's not going to get near it. And then Dusty and Shy Bolt in the last quarter are going to get him over the line by 13 points with Bolton to win the norm.
So Richmond 13 with Bolton. He's had a breakout year. Are you a Tigers fan, Dan?
And no, I'm an Eagles man, so it pains me even to talk about this. I just vomited in my mouth even saying that.
Sorry, mate. But Bolton's been really good. I mean, it's interesting to see the number of West Aussie boys in both teams. So I'm really keen to see how much impact they can have on the last game, which is a game where you can make a name for yourself. You know, who's going to be the X factor? Who's going to be that person that perhaps is actually going to stand up and make a name for themselves? Because, mate, there's no better day to do it than tomorrow.
Well, he's shown already in the finals that he's up to it because he's kicked some brilliant goals. He's capable of the freakish as well as just doing the solid things as well. It's Shay Bolton, isn't it? Not Shy? Oh. Everyone keeps saying Shy, but I'm pretty sure
Shay. But
I think it's Shay.
Yeah. We say Shay when we commentate.
We might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Shay.
We've been wrong before. We've said Nick Natanui's name wrong for his whole life. It's Natanui.
He could have corrected this earlier
Nick
on that.
Natanui. That's how it's spelt.
Did you ask him about that today?
No. I've got better things to ask you about.
What did you call him today?
Nick Nat Nui.
You did?
Yeah. Nick Nat, actually. I reckon I addressed him as for most of the day there at the Hyatt. 450 people, a lot of them 6PR listeners because it was promoted on 6PR. We're an event partner with PAV and money to MSWA.
That's not Matthew Pavlich.
No, it's not Matthew Pavlich.
Perth Audiovisual.
That's it. And look, JK does a lot of great work for MSWA, which was the charity partner. So, but yeah, it was good to see everyone in really good spirit. I think that was nice. The three boys told us a lot of stories. I wasn't allowed to talk about it on the radio, and I'm going to hold my word to that. So I'm not going to sit here and talk about what they talked about. I promised for those that were there and are driving home, you would have heard me pledge that to the boys on the stage. So I'm not going to disrespect that because, you know, it was really nice having them there, being candid. They were open. They heckled each other and they seemed really relaxed, which was nice.
Just imagine what the functions would have been like had the grand final being played at Optus Stadium tomorrow rather than up at the Gabba. How much this place would be pumping right now.
Yes, it'd be pumping a hell of a lot more than probably what it is. So we'll find out a little bit more about the Tigers next. A bloke who has been there for a while now, Justin Lepich, seen a lot of success, will join us after the break.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Looking for a giant performance from the Richmond Tigers as they farewell Justin Lepich, who I think told us around a month ago that he was on his way out, sadly. But I'll tell you what, he can create some more history. He did it on the field, winning three. And now his club is looking to win three on the field. Justin, welcome, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's unbelievable how successful this team has been. And, mate, I reckon every single season we've probably underestimated how well your blokes can go. They have been a remarkably good team now over the test of time.
Yeah, that's right. And I think sometimes when you find your groove, you know, everyone in plays a role that probably suits them as well. And we're also playing a brand of footy that stacks up. I think when all those things combine really well, you get good outcomes. And, you know, you obviously need a bit of luck too along the way. But the boys sort of at least controlling the bits we can.
With the brand of footy, has it changed much since the first flag?
Yeah, I think so. I think our first flag was a little bit more, probably if you watch the way St Kilda play, probably a little bit more like that. You know, a bit more dynamic, more precious, you know, speed, more slingshot type football. I think our defence has become more refined over the last three seasons and a bit more organised. So I think that's probably been the slight change. And even recently, our stoppage has probably adapted a little bit because teams have sort of, you know, you get a few years of tape against somebody and then you can come up with a plan against them. So we've found that, some, you know, some teams have tried some things that have worked, so we've had to adapt again.
I reckon it's all the West Australians in your lineup, Justin. You got a heap of them.
Yeah, we do, actually. Got a lot of Shea Bolton. Little Liam Baker is probably the most untidiest footballer ever, but he's really effective, great contested ball player. But, yeah, we've got Brody. We've got quite a few, yeah.
Yeah, Camden McIntosh as well, of course, from Pinjarra. So they're definitely holding up their end of the bargain in the Tigers side. Can you tell us what the match committee was like this week? Obviously going in unchanged, both sides going in unchanged. Was there much you had to deliberate or was it just pretty set from the prelim final?
Oh, no, it was pretty set. I don't think there was any positions that that we felt required to be that under pressure that required a change. I mean, I think that's the thing. I mean, you can probably change one magnet for another because they're going about the same. But, you know, you just don't make those changes on a whim. You know, someone has to lose their position as well as someone gain it. It's a bit of a dangerous task just to throw things around, particularly when the team's settled.
Well, I think that the best part about being a good team is that different blokes stand up on different weeks. And over the last month, I mean, you look at Shane Edwards, say, last week compared to the impact that he had this week, and then Kame Lambert bobbed up. And, mate, you just don't know. At the moment, you know, Riola didn't kick a goal, but then he'll get up. The next week he'll get three, and Castagna will be on the scoreboard, and Rewald will kick four, and Lynch won't kick any, and then they'll swing it around the other way. I mean, it's been unbelievable how blokes have just been able to stand up at those crucial moments.
Yeah, it's a good point you raise, and it's, you've got to be careful how you judge players every week, because particularly those small forwards, because it's such, they get starved so often. So, you know, if you want to count possessions for someone like a Jason Castagna that's playing, or Daniel Riolo that's playing small forward, well, it's going to be really tough. I mean, if we count up all the numbers, everyone can do it at home. If Richmond are a 350 possession a game team, well, when you take out Dusties and Koch and all the big, you know, there's not much left in the end, is there? So we can't expect them to get 15, 20 touches a week. There's probably just not enough opportunity for that for them. So we grade them in other areas, in chase and pressure and all those sorts of things that we rate highly, because we don't give them the opportunities to get a lot of the ball.
Mate, how good a mover is Noah Bolter for a bloke that's 194 centimetres, 6'4"? He moves pretty well.
Oh, he's unbelievable, isn't he? I mean, he's not a native to the game, if you could say that. He's quite a funny guy. He doesn't know a lot about the game, particularly coming in. He's all athlete, basically. He's quite funny. He asked me a couple of weeks ago when we played Adelaide in the last game. He said, "Do they play at the same ground as Port Adelaide?" So he's got a bit of work to do, and his general game knowledge. But I think that's what makes him so great, because he doesn't put the pressure on himself. You know, he doesn't go into the game in awe of the players around him or anything like that. So it's actually quite a positive in one way.
It's been a great replacement, I guess, for Alex Rance. For you, what was it like having to reshuffle once Alex announced his retirement?
Yeah, well, that's such a long time ago now. I mean, it's only a year ago since Alex retired, but he's really been gone for two. I mean, the first shuffle was putting Dylan Grimes into that position, who was, you know, played most of his career up until that point as a dour defender, and had to be a little bit more creative in the task we gave him, and he adapted to that brilliantly. And then just missing Dave Asprey for a long time this year brought Noah into the mix, and that evolved it again into a different type of player. And now Dave's back, and he's playing a little bit of back and a little bit of ruck, so we've evolved again. So as we know, guys, everything keeps changing in our game, and you have to, you know, think quick and evolve with it, because the game moves so quickly.
How do you shut down the Cats' forward line? Obviously, Dangerfield's been playing there up forward a fair bit more, and they've got the Coleman medalist there in Tom Hawkins.
Yeah, they're very much a dynamic front half team. I think we're systematically a good team defence, but you still got to get your one-on-one stuff done well, particularly from stoppage, because that's when it's a far more one-on-one type game. When the ball's sort of in transition, you rely on a sort of a team approach. But, yeah, if they win stoppage and get it in quickly to, you know, those types of players, we have to just be good in a contest, don't we? Bring the ball to ground and then try and rebound. So that's the simple part of it. I mean, apart from that, they like to hold possession. We all know that. Get uncontested marks. They moved it a little bit quicker the last few weeks than what they have. Instead of taking maybe 130 uncontested marks, more at the 80 odd, and get them a little bit quicker to give them a chance. So they've changed their game a little bit.
I reckon if you can do what you did to them in round 17, you'll be going all right. They had one goal five at three-quarter time. It wasn't that long ago. So I still remember that game, and it was probably a game you could have won by 10 goals, to be honest. But anyway, I've tipped Richmond, if you couldn't tell, for the game tomorrow, Leper. Now, mate, what about for you? You've already announced that you're leaving Richmond. What's next for you? Have you got any plans?
Probably just a gap year at this point. But the problem is, there's nowhere to travel, is there? So that's
the challenge, no, isn't it? So. We could come here, but you've got to stay in a hotel for 2 weeks.
Exactly. Stick around the Mornington Peninsula. So, that's about all I could do. But no, look, I'm really keen to just, after 28 years of doing what I'm doing, is really first and foremost take a breath and just enjoy life, really. That's the first bit. I think I'll still be in footy in some way, shape or form in the future, whether it's, you know, 12 months, 2 years, 3 years. But I just think I've got some other interests off-field as well that I do, which I'd love to pursue for a little bit. But, yeah, I think next year will be a bit more multifaceted for me and get through that and then look at it again. So, as I said, I haven't taken a break for such a long period of time. I think sometimes looking up from a different lens is always a good idea, which I 100% haven't, don't know what that is yet, but over the next month or so, I think that'll come a bit clearer.
Well, we wish you all the best with whatever the future does hold. Just a couple of quick ones to finish up from me. A lot of people talking when we're analysing the game that if it does rain, and that looks like it's on the cards, that it's going to favour the Tigers. Are you of the same belief?
Well, I think generally the rain helps teams that are a bit more chaotic, like us. I guess teams that hold into the ball a little bit more and like uncontested marks, wind and rain don't tend to help that. So what you're talking is there's only percentages that slightly shift. It doesn't mean the job gets done for us. I mean, if we choose not to defend on the day or choose not to attack, it doesn't matter what the conditions are. But, conditions can help certain game styles. So if you had to flip a coin, if it rained a lot, it would probably help our game style freshly more than Geelong's, yeah.
And just the build-up itself, you obviously been pretty close with the Cats. I think you're staying at the same place. There's no grand final parade. Does it feel like a similar build-up for a grand final, or is it vastly different? Does it feel more like just another game or another final?
No, it feels nothing like a grand final. it's quite bizarre. It's been a bizarre year, so let's be honest. So you can't expect it to be any different. It's terrific for Queensland footy, I must say. To have this here and to have the focus on this state, having played up here and know how hard it is to get any traction in this part of the world, it's been terrific. But yeah, well, look, you know, we're all staying 100 days away from home, and there's no grand final parade, there's no crowd at training. You're right, it probably does feel like a normal game. It's funny, we say for a grand final, just treat it like another game where actually you've got no choice but not to, because it's not really got the focus on it unless you turn on the TV. It really doesn't have the focus on it that the players visibly see.
Well, it certainly won't have an asterisk on it from my point of view. We've had a number of our listeners ringing us and tell us, oh, well, it should have an asterisk a bit against it. But when you have had to endure what you and your boys have had to endure and everyone's had to endure, then, mate, it probably should have three ticks next to it rather than an asterisk, to be honest. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, mate. Really appreciate it. Well done on your career personally. And, mate, hopefully we'll have a chat to you at some stage in the future, especially if you get over to WA, mate. Make sure you say good day.
Absolutely. Sounds like a plan. Thanks, boys.
Good on you. Justin Lepich here on Sports Day for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you. Nice to have him on the show.
We might be letting people in sometime between now and 2030.
Well, we've got to get to that point at some stage, perhaps. But
hopefully
let's
sooner
hope.
Rather than later.
There's a lot of people I've heard on Ollie's show this afternoon.
That's another chat for later.
Yeah, talking much the same. 9221882. Let's get back into the calls. Who's going to win the game? Who's your Norm Smith medalist? We're giving away some Gage Roads beer and a couple of cartons of beer. 9221882. Great Gage Roads pack, which includes a couple of cartons of beer. Let me get that right as our caller of the day prize. I told you earlier, you should know. 9221882. Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. In this second hour to kick us off is the Freo Dockers fairest and best. A giant performance of the night it was last night for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you. His first for his club, Luke Ryan, after a sensational season. Welcome, mate. Congratulations. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not too bad. I woke up a bit dusty this morning, but it was a good night.
You should be a little bit dusty. I got a chance to call quite a few of your games live, which was nice, mate, to have a few games played here in Western Australia. And, mate, you were just unbelievable in your intercepts and just reading the play. And quite often you were playing out of your weight division. How did you feel about going into a lot of games this year where you're playing on much bigger opponents?
Obviously it was a different year for me, for my role, but... No, I enjoyed it. The first time I got told I was playing on some tall bikes, I was like, oh, this will be pretty challenging and fun. And JL gave me full confidence, and my former backline coach, Mick Pryor, gave me a lot of confidence. And it was exciting, and credit to the backline group down there helped me a lot and made my job a whole lot easier.
What did you have to change in the way that you played the game? Obviously, you like to roll off a bit and lots of intercept marks, but when you had to play that more of a key role, what did you have to change?
Obviously I had to man up more and actually defend, so that was probably the one. But, obviously I had to work a whole lot more on my positioning and where they want the ball and where do I want them to mark the ball and stuff like that. So, I watched a whole lot more vision and, really worked on my body work and knowing who to body up, knowing who to play off. So, developed my game a whole lot, which I hope I can take into next year.
Normally being a key defender, as you said, you've got to man up a bit more and lock down, but you were still able to find a heap of the footy.
Obviously JL's new structure and that come into place, and I suppose I got to the right place at the right time, and my housemate Brennan always used to give me the ball. He didn't want to kick the ball, so that made it a lot easier for me to get a touch. But no, I don't mind it. If we don't touch the ball down there and we get the 4 points, that's what matters.
A bit of waxing between the two of you. Always good. You formed a pretty good combination towards the end of the season in particular. What was it like going into a best and fairest count last night as the favourite?
Oh, I didn't think I was favourite, to be honest. I thought Andy was favourite. He had an unbelievable year. And I was just there just with the boys, having a good time, having a few beers. And, lucky enough to got first place. And, yeah, really honoured and feel privileged to be out there with some of the names that have won it before me. So, yeah, it's a massive honour.
Mate, what has it been like with a new coach? What have you noticed has been, say, different from Ross Lyon and how he used to mentor you? What's been a few of the differences?
Obviously, there's been a whole lot of difference because there's not as many coaches. We can't have team meetings. So just more one-on-ones with JL at the moment, which is all I can say at the moment, just because we weren't really allowed to have team meetings and team training. So we had a fair bit of time with JL one-on-one and with the backline group. So, no, he's really good. He's positive. Oh, Ross the exact same. And, I really can't split that much differences at the moment just because we hardly get to see JL in a big group. But, it's very exciting. He puts a lot of confidence in you. And, he's once you go out there, you know you've done the work and you're comfortable with the system. And, it's exciting.
Just going back to your housemate Coxie, and you blokes are as thick as thieves. You know, you dyed your hair together, and we know that you enjoy each other's company. How good has it been having him down back? Because he too didn't look out of place, mate. I mean, he played his part down there, and you know, competition for spots is always good, and he's showing another string to his bow.
Yeah, he's he only played this year down back mainly in the AFL, but he got drafted as a All Australian 18-year-old down back. And yeah, when he come down there, he's just real composed. He's a big man. He's he's just really good at reading the ball, strong, and he's learning week in, week out. And he's good footy, really started to show at the end of the season. So, it's always good having him down there, and it's going to be hard for spots. But I think he wants to push into the midfield, so I'm not sure if Fife will let it or not, but we'll see what happens.
We'll keep an eye on that for next season. For you, it's been a rapid rise. You've only drafted back in 2016. Can you take us back a little bit? Were you an apprentice carpenter, is that right, before being drafted? And what it was like, obviously, being overlooked to start with and then fighting for a spot and eventually getting selected?
Obviously I did a different pathway to most. I left school at the start of year 11 or the end of year 10. I can't remember, to be honest. And, I was always about playing footy for mates, going to work and just enjoying that life. And when I was 18, I really wasn't ready for AFL, to be honest. And, I just enjoyed playing footy, going out, going to work. So I was just living the normal 18-year-old kid life. And then I sort of matured up a bit and mum put a little bit of pressure on me to give it actually a go. And then I mean, it was 2-3 years down the track, and that's when I got drafted from Coburg.
Mum's are good at giving some good advice. So can you give us any insight into what she told you to sharpen up to see if you can have a crack at the AFL level?
Oh, she just said, just get serious. Just I know you like playing with your mates, but actually take it serious. Put extra work in, do extra training and all that sort of stuff. And she said, if you play VFL, she'll buy me a dog. So, that's probably what got me over the line.
That's pretty good incentive. That's not still the same dog you've got now, is it, that was tearing the house up last time we spoke to you?
I had to leave him with my uncle, unfortunately. But he's healthy, so which is the main thing.
So the incentive was to buy a dog once you got to play VFL. When was the moment that you, though, believed that you were going to be good enough, or that you had the ability, if you worked hard enough, to make it in the AFL?
To be honest, after I played, I think it was like 8 games at Coburg, I didn't really know if I was good enough. I played a few good games down there, and they said I was going to get drafted. So then it sort of really come to mind. And once I got over to Fremantle and saw how the boys trained and how big they were, I was like, oh, I need to really go up another gear here. So it was probably, first day of pre-season, I realised I need to put in more work. And then once I got my first game, so I was like, oh, yeah, now I've sort of made it. So, that was probably the turning point.
And mate, what about the future? Obviously, with Frio and the strides that you took towards the back half of the season, there were some real positives. There were so many games that you were so close in that, you know, you converted a couple of those. You might have well been playing finals, mate. That's how tight the competition was this year, given its shortened nature.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying. I think we started the season 0-4, 0-5. That really didn't help us going into the back half of the year, and then losing to Carlton by kick after the siren, which obviously killed us. And then, like, even in the games against Richmond and stuff like that, Port Adelaide were up into it at three-quarter time, and then we have a little lapse, and then we fall away. So if you tighten those little screws, I think next year will be very exciting for us.
Yeah, round one you lost by 6 points. Brisbane you lost in round two by 12, mate. I reckon there was those games at the start of the year which you could have easily won because you were right in those games. So it should have increased belief there. And certainly when it comes to a lot of those young blokes, didn't Caleb Sarong just play an outstanding season? And I think we saw why Fremantle chose to take Chera and Brayshaw in the draft at the numbers that they did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Given Chez, Andy, Caleb, more time in the midfield is obviously going to be great for us. They've developed so quickly in the last couple of years. And then to see Caleb come in and do what he's done this year is, yeah, it's unbelievable. Never seen anything like it. He's taken on the biggest jobs, played on the best players and kept them quiet, but also had a fair bit of footy himself and is always willing to learn. So, yeah, it's exciting times for us. Obviously, Liam Henry, Hayden Young, the list goes on. So, yeah, it's very exciting for us. And next year should be good.
Do you know Matthew Boyd at all, who's coming in as your new defensive coach?
No, I don't know him. I've used to watch him play, but I've heard great things, and yeah, can't wait to meet him.
Who wins the grand final tomorrow, mate?
Don't care. Richmond, I think. They're just so hard to play against.
What makes them so hard to play against?
Oh, when you're playing as a defender, it feels like they've got 25 on the field running forward. So, they're hard to stop once they get momentum.
Yeah, they have, though, mate.
But that's Geelong do have a good defence, so it weighs up pretty good.
Yeah, although that last game they played, only round 17, mate. Geelong had one goal at three-quarter time. So, unlike you, mate, I've gone for the Tigers. But good on you, mate. Well done again on your season. Thank you very much for having a chat to us on your Friday night, mate. Take care and enjoy tomorrow.
Cheers, thank you. Enjoy your day.
Good on you. Luke Ryan here on Sports Day. Nice to have a yak to him. We'll clear a commitment. On the other side, we are going to preview the NRL Grand Final between the Penrith Panthers and the Melbourne Storm. That to be played at ANZ Stadium on Sunday. You'll see it live on... Welcome back to Sports Day. Scott Sattler joins us. He is the host of Sports Day on the East Coast up there in Queensland and New South Wales on the NRL Grand Final. He is our expert. That's why we go to him when the big game is on. Welcome, Scotty. Nice to talk to you, mate.
Hello, guys. Yeah, it's a massive weekend of sport, isn't it?
It is a massive weekend of sport. Of course, the AFL Grand Final tomorrow, and then on Sunday we get into the big game between Penrith and the Melbourne Storm, the Panthers. Can they beat the Storm, mate? They're favourites, and everyone's tipping the Storm, everyone I talk to.
Well, everyone's picking the Storm because they're the most experienced side in the competition. They've got arguably the greatest player of all time, possibly hanging up his boots. He's never won a Clive Churchill ever in his illustrious career, and the Norm Smith equivalent. It's the only thing that's eluded him. So the stage is set for just a classic farewell. But in saying this, you've got this really young, adventurous, exciting, overconfident Penrith Panthers side that has swept everything before them. I think Penrith can win it. I think they really can win it, but they've got to get off to a really good start in the first 15 or 20 minutes, because if they don't, this Melbourne Storm will blow them off the park. But it shapes as one of the toughest grand finals to pick, but definitely looks like it's one of the most exciting also.
Just having a look at a few of the backs, Jerome Hughes was arguably the best player, I thought, for the Storm in the last game they played. He's got some moves. His kicking game's improved. Cam Munster and Josh Adokar. I mean, when you throw those three names in, then there is going to be some trouble for the Panthers at some point.
Absolutely. It's how they handle that. I mean, there's a lot of questions thrown up, guys, leading into the finals and whether the Panthers were able to. They've been really good front runners. They've been might and power all year, just lead from the front and no one can bring them down. And
And it's going to be always a question of when they get behind on the scoreboard, how are they going to handle that? Well, they did that in the final against the Roosters. They got behind by 12 points. They stayed composed. They got themselves back into the game and ended up winning the game, winning that final, had the week off. So they've answered a lot of critics. But when you've got this Melbourne Storm side, they have got match winners all over the place. But the best part about the Melbourne Storm is they can adapt. They can adapt on the run. They know how to change all their focus on every aspect of the game. And whereas the Penrith Panthers haven't mastered that yet, but rest assured, if this Panthers side gets off to a good start in the first 15 or 20 minutes, they've got the possibility to put 14, 16, 18, 20 points on any side.
The Melbourne Storm are a remarkable franchise. What do you think's been the secret to their success, to be just contending over such a long period?
Well, first and foremost is their coach, Craig Bellamy. He went down there as an untried coach in 2003. He'd only been an assistant coach at the Brisbane Broncos. And then he was fortunate enough, it was all about timing. He arrived at the club at the same time as some very good players, Smith, Slater, Kronk, Ryan Hoffman, all these really good young players that ended up becoming real senior players of the side. So it was him as a coach, and he had four or five assistant coaches that were running on the field each day. They were pushing the values every day at training. They were the greatest work ethic of any team in the competition. And they've stuck to those values all along. They recruit really well as well. So, you know, when they've lost great players, you feel as though they're going to go through this redevelopment phase, and all of a sudden these players find something they didn't realise they ever had as a player, and the Melbourne Storm has the ability to drag that out of these players. So he's done an amazing job, Craig Bellamy. I think he'll go down as, you know, one of our top three greatest coaches of all time, and he deserves that as well, the work that he's done with them. And all coaches that have coached under him as well end up going on and becoming coaches as well. So not only do you play there and play your best footy, it's also an education in the game.
Win, lose or draw, what do you think Cameron Smith's going to do?
Oh, I think he's known for a while. I think he's played a really good card game at telling people he doesn't know what he's going to do. From all reports, he's been ringing former teammates to ask their advice. He's playing good enough to play another season, but when you get to his age, 37, and then you get another pre-season under your belt training, it takes a lot out of your body. And I know that people say, oh, yeah, but he wouldn't train every day because they'd look after him. But knowing him the way he is, apparently he misses no sessions, and that's the way that he prepares for games. So I think he'll call it. There is a very, very good journalist in Sydney, Andrew Webster, who's writing his book currently, and that started at the end of last year. So I think they're just waiting for the final curtain to see how that finishes on Sunday. And I think over the next couple of weeks, you'll see Cameron make some sort of announcement.
It'll look very different not having Cameron Smith at the Melbourne Storm if that does play out that way. Do you think Craig Bellamy is on the way out as well, or will he stay at the Storm?
Well, if his contract finishes at the end of next year, there's a bit of an arm wrestle about his services. I know that he wants to move to southeast Queensland. His wife and his daughter lives on the Gold Coast, and his wife has always wanted to move closer. He's got a son that works at the Melbourne Storm. He's got a couple of grandkids as well. So whether he would be as part of the package that goes to the Brisbane Broncos, they've always wanted to bring him back there as some sort of coaching advisor. I hate the title coaching director. I just don't think it exists in rugby league. But a coaching advisor is probably something that he would definitely look at. But, you know, the Melbourne Storm won't let him go quietly. I mean, I think they'll allow him to move to southeast Queensland if that's what he wants to do, but still having him in some coaching consultancy capacity. So, you know, as long as he's not working as hard as what he has over the last 15, 16, 17 years and still gets to coach in some capacity, I think he'll stay at the Melbourne Storm in some sort of consultancy role.
Let's switch to the Panthers. Now, is Coach Ivan Cleary playing ducks and drakes here? He's named Brett Naden in centre. He didn't even get on the field last week for interchange. And Tyrone May's been, at this point, named on the pine. You reckon that's really going to happen?
No, it won't. And he did it last week as well, made the change at the last moment. They've been really concerned about Brett Naden. Even though that he's played in the last 17 games he's played in with Penrith, they've won every game. So he hasn't had a loss in the Penrith jersey yet. But there's been some defensive deficiencies they've been really concerned about with Brett Naden. Just those one-on-one contact, you've got to love that contact first and foremost to be a good defender. And
they've had some concerns, and his side of the field, they're coming up against a young Papua New Guinean kid by the name of Justin Olam. He's an absolute revelation this year, and he's quite scary to play against as well, from all reports. So I think they're a little bit concerned that if Justin Olam does a job on Brett Naden, well, the game will get away from them, whereas Tyrone May is a really smart player. Not as big, I should say, and not as physical, but a very smart player as well. And so I think they'll start with Tyrone May and just see what happens throughout the game. And if Naden is needed, he's there. If he's not, well, they did it last week without using 17 players.
Mitch Kenny out of the 17, and the Panthers have a chance to equal their 2003 club record of 21 wins in a season. So they've got plenty to play for. Do you expect they'll make any other changes or kick our returns from suspension?
No, I don't think they will. Kurt Cable did a great job last week for a kick out, so he'll just go onto the bench. He plays a number of positions. I don't think there'll be any more changes. There'll be no changes from the Melbourne team. I do anticipate Dale Finucane, who returned last week. I think he'll start at lock, and I'll move big Nelson Asafa Solomana back to the bench. But for the Penrith Panthers, I think they'll just go in with the 17 that they've got. But I think May will just start.
Great to have a chat to you, Scott. We did speak a couple of weeks ago just about the battle for coverage over there in Queensland with the AFL obviously setting up camp there for so long. What's it been like in grand final week, obviously with the AFL and NRL grand finals both being played this weekend? Can you give us a bit of insight into what traction there has been broken through for the AFL this week, if any?
Yeah, it's been quite amazing, actually. Reading the front and back pages of some of the papers over here on the and Southeast Queensland, it's all been about the AFL. It's a really smart decision by the AFL, I feel as though, that what they've done. And not only that, they've actually apparently cut through with a lot of corporate support up in and around the rugby league heartlands, the Rockhamptons and central Queensland, Townsville, selling packages up in those parts of Queensland where people are allowed to travel down to Brisbane and make a weekend of it. So, they've really cut through. And because of the failure of the Broncos and the Cowboys, and even though the Titans missed the finals also, the timing has been perfect for the AFL.
Beautiful, mate. Thank you very, very much for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. Who wins and by how much?
Now, listen, my penny Panthers, I really want them to win, and I think they can win. I'm just starting to sway towards Melbourne a little bit. I think it's going to be like an 18-16 scoreline. I think it's going to be very close.
That's what we hope for. Anyway, we want to be a close grand final so that we are sitting there watching it right to the end, Scotty, and listening to it. Thank you very much for your time tonight, mate. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Anytime, guys.
Scott Sattler, host of Sports Day over there in Queensland and New South Wales. Make sure that you tune in if you're on the East Coast, and a preview of the NRL Grand Final. We will be back with more of Sports Day after. Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have Andy Keogh back in the purple, playing for our Perth Glory, and looking forward to seeing the boys get back into training. Can't be too far away with the season going to get underway towards the end of the year. I think it's December 27, isn't it? A couple of days after Christmas.
Just before New Year, and Asian Champions League coming up next month as well.
Yeah. Andy Keogh, welcome, mate. How are you going?
How you doing, guys?
We're going really well. Where do we find you tonight?
Hey, I'm in Perth, just out and about with the family and having an enjoyable day off.
How long have you been back for, Andy?
I got back in the first week of April, so just as the main lockdown started. We bunkered in and made ourselves as safe as possible, which ended up being a great decision here in Perth.
Yeah, certainly a good decision to get back. You've obviously been here and played with the Glory a couple of times before and made Perth your home. So did it make it a pretty simple decision to sign with the Glory again?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was always coming back to Perth. Perth was my home since the minute I moved over here. So I came here with the intention of staying here. So obviously, with circumstances out of my control, I had to leave. But, whenever my contract's ended elsewhere, it was always the intention to come back to live here in Perth.
Can you talk us through that scenario from the last time you left Perth to then going to play in Saudi Arabia and India as well?
Private matters are private matters, but
You can put it this way, I didn't want to go to Saudi Arabia. I ended up going, and it was actually a fantastic adventure in life, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. But ultimately, I didn't initially want to go, and unfortunately, my hand was forced, and I had to leave.
So how does that feel now, coming back? No issues, obviously, with having to leave the first time, that you're excited to get back and play for the Glory again?
Oh, well, it's a totally different setup now, so different people. So, yeah, it was absolutely fantastic to get back on board. Obviously, being part of the Premier's plate-winning team, and you know, it's great to be back and help the club achieve one step further, which will be a grand final Glory.
Another signing, mate, a Dutch central defender, Daryl Latchman, for the next couple of years. Do you know much about him?
No, never heard of him, to be honest. But I've checked him out and he looks decent. He's good physique, good height, good athleticism. So, you know, with Richie at the helm, I'm teaching him the way he wants him to play and the experience of the clubs he's been at, I'm sure he'll be a great addition. He's got some good pedigree behind him, and it's exactly what we need, obviously, with defensive recruitments.
Have you, by any chance, had a chat to Diego Castro since you've been out and about, since you've been here in April? You haven't been holidaying with him, have you? Well, because he didn't want to go to the hub. I think he went travelling around WA because he could.
I don't know about that. But, I've spoke to him. I've seen him. We've had coffee. We've met up. So now he's all good. He's happy. He's delighted with the appointment of Richie Garcia, which I think the whole of WA is. And he's looking forward to finishing his career in Perth and giving everyone a lot more masterclasses to watch in the future.
So that sounds good, because we've sort of been waiting for an announcement for a commitment, I suppose, and everyone's been querying as to whether he's going to stay and play. But, mate, because he just moves so well, he's got fast feet, mate. He's one of those blokes that's good, looks like he's going at another speed.
Oh, yeah, he's brilliant. He's absolutely fantastic, and he's an absolute joy to have in the club and the squad. And you know, obviously, there's a lot of things that happen behind closed doors that people don't realise, and a lot of speculation gets thrown around. But there's one thing that I can say about Diego: he's a man of moral and value, and he always gives his all to whoever he represents. So I think that's enough said on him, and we all know exactly what we're going to get from him.
Well, I think everyone's looking forward to seeing Diego Castro playing for the Glory again, as they are you. You mentioned Richard Garcia a couple of times already through the interview. How pleased are you that he is the coach now, and what's he going to bring? You obviously know him pretty well as a former teammate.
Yeah, I'm delighted he's a coach. He deserves it. He's worked hard. He's done his hard yards in the background. And you know, he's going to be youthful with great experience. You know, he's I'm sure he'll make mistakes as many, but he's only human. Humans make mistakes. So, but what he does is he loves WA. He's got a passion for the club, and he's going to bring exactly what type of football he wants, which is attacking. As he was an attacker himself, lots of goals with a good structure and make Glory a real family community club again, which is important for the whole of WA, because the more we can be together is better for everyone.
Now, has the paperwork been finalised? You're an Australian resident now?
I'm going to be a citizen on the November 4th. So I've got to go to Joondalup to do my ceremony, and then I'm good to go. They get me as an Aussie now. You're stuck with me forever now.
No, it's brilliant. What does it mean to you to be an Aussie citizen when that does happen on November 4th? Because you have, obviously, as you mentioned, you've made Perth your home pretty much as soon as you moved here the first time.
Yeah, it's going to be a very proud moment. I came to Australia back in 1998 with my family. My uncles have
I've been here since the 80s. I've got my mum and dad out here now, my brother. You know, this is our home. So to finally be part of the Australian people is going to be a fantastic feeling, and something we're very proud of, and something we want to contribute immensely to as well.
Fantastic. Well said. Just the Asian Champions League, is the squad training and preparing for that? Are you confident that it's going to go ahead? Obviously, everything's up in the air around the world with everything at the moment.
Yeah, I think, you know, as far as we're concerned, it's going to go ahead, you know, unless something drastic happens, which you never know in the way 2020 has gone for everyone this year. But, yeah, you know, it's focus on it going ahead and full steam ahead to get our heads down and work hard and be ready to perform and, you know, use it also as a catapult into the new A-League season. You can almost, you know, talk about it as like a mini pre-season type thing as well.
Good stuff, mate. Thank you very much for sharing some time with us tonight, and good luck for the next few weeks. And I suppose it's going to be a little relaxing Christmas with the family, mate, and then bang, she'll be full bore in an A-League season, as we spoke about off the top of this interview, starting on the 27th of December.
Yeah, I think so. Sounds like a good plan.
Good on you. Andy Keogh here on Sports Day. Great to have him in the fray. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who love their soccer that would be overjoyed by that, particularly the Perth Glory fans. He's contributed so much, and he loves hitting the back of the onion net. That's one thing we know he is very good at.
That he certainly is, Carl. Just before we finish up talking the Glory, just wanted to mention a big charity game coming up on Sunday afternoon. If people want to get their football fix, it's the Perth Glory Legends against the Perth Children's Hospital Doctors at Dorian Gardens, West Perth, this Sunday from 2:30 p.m. Admission just a gold coin donations, with all the proceeds going to the PCH Foundation and Telethon as well. There's plenty for the kids. Get down there, inflatable football pitch, entertainment. There's going to be lots of fun to be had. And how about some of these names that are going to be playing in the Glory squad? It's a mixed game, but they're going to have Glory coach Richard Garcia. Jamie Harnwell's going to be out there. Scotty Miller, Gareth Naven, Matt Horsley, Kenny Lowe, I'm sure, will providing plenty of entertainment. Chris Harold, Steve McGarry, Danny Milosevic, Kim Carroll from the W League team, Katrina Jukic as well from the W League team, plenty more as well. So that's going to be great fun. If you're looking for something to do this Sunday, great cause as well. 2:30 p.m. The Glory Legends against the Perth Children's Hospital Doctors. It sounds like a mismatch on paper to me. Hopefully the doctors go pretty well, but hopefully they raise a fair bit of cash as well for those charities. So 2:30 p.m, Dorian Gardens, it is on Sunday.
Well, clear a commitment. On the other side, Gavin Migro is going to join us. The Speedway season kicks off. There's going to be drag racing, Speedway, burnouts, everything, all happening next Saturday down at the Perth Motorplex. We'll talk about all of that. Welcome back to Sports Day. Well, the Perth Motorplex is open, and they've started in fine fettle with a new record. They had burnouts, and they have set an attendance record. It was held last weekend, and there was over 8,000 spectators turned out for the burnout boss. They created jobs and boosted the local economy, which is what Speedway has done for years under the fine leadership of Gavin Migro. And I'm glad to say that Speedway and drag racing is all going to be there with burnouts in one big show coming up next Saturday, October 31. Gav, welcome.
Thanks very much, Carl. Yeah, really can't look forward to it enough, mate. We're really looking forward to it. And hello to you too, Adam.
Great to chat to you, Gavin. It's exciting, isn't it?
Look, it really is. I mean, we obviously COVID sort of threw some significant curveballs out to not only the whole of Western Australia, but certainly to the Perth Motorplex and Speedway and drag racing and burnouts and all the other stuff, the exciting stuff that we do with horsepower. But yeah, it really threw some curveballs to it. But we're back with a vengeance. The first two Whoop-Ass Wednesday street drag racing nights have been above crowds as well. We've had like 1,700 people a Wednesday week ago, another 1,000 people the other night, and then of course off with 500 people there, so absolutely over the moon with that we've had so far. But it all the stars line up for next Saturday night, being the Shannon's Powerpalooza. So it'll be a little bit of an earlier start too. We've obviously we've got quite a lot of competitors participating on that night, and being such a big event,
we're going to start the drag racing a little earlier, about 3:30 in the afternoon. So it sort of be a perfect time for people to get down there a little earlier to watch some great drag racing that, that our drag racing manager, Ray Treasure, has organised. And we've got some couple of Nitro cars and some Door Slammer cars running as well. The sportsman racing in that for some of the other classes as well. So it really promises to be a ripper on that side. Then what we've done, we're mixing it up a little bit this year. We're going to do the motorbikes. The actual burnout. We're going to do that in between the speedway and the drag racing. So that'll allow the people to sort of probably see that around the 6 o'clock mark. And then the speedway will get underway about 7 o'clock. So the speedway fans can have a look around the pits. Drag racing fans can look around all the rest of the venue as well, and obviously the burnout fans will get a huge bang for their buck. So we can't wait. It's so exciting, and the speedway cars, we've got heaps of cars and that sort of stuff for next week. A bit of a record actually for an opening night crowd. 27 sprint cars, Carl.
Wow, how good's that, mate? See, no one's had anything to do, mate. They've got to do something. Hey?
Absolutely. So 27 sprint cars, 22 late models, which is awesome. And they were, as you know, you're a big fan of the late models. Yeah. The speed cars, we've got 17 cars. They've come back with a vengeance. We've got speedway motorcycles, and we look like having about 10 or 12 speedway motorcycles, so the solos and then the flat trackers as well. We're hoping to have around 10 of them racing on the night as well. So it just promises to be an absolute ripper. So we hope to be all done by about 9:30 on next Saturday night.
Gav, very, very serious question from me. Who comes up with the names for these nights? The Power Palooza and Whoop Ass Wednesday. They're brilliant.
Well, I've got to declare it that Powerpalooza was me. My boys had been to Lollapalooza in Paris, yep, and Chicago at the music festival, and I sort of thought this is a pretty wacky name. So I had a little bit of a look at, and said it means a coming together of a grand scale. And I thought, well, what better thing when we're going to bring the whole motorsport at the Perth Motorplex together on one night? So we've got power, horsepower, and then we've got the Palooza bringing them all together. So that's how I come up with that wacky name. And Whoopars Wednesday was 20 years ago. We had a collective together, and we thought, well, you know, Wednesday night is when it's going to be. And why don't you whoop ass when you whoop ass your car? So why not? So it's been a great initiative for us since then.
Now, mate, one thing that isn't going to happen this season, unfortunately, is World Series Sprint Cars. That has been cancelled. So Cricky Motorsport team have changed their plans, mate, and they've announced Dane Kingshot, the slingshot, as we call him, as their new driver. That's a great announcement.
So excited, Carl. Last night, we actually at Maddington Toyota, we had our season launch, and we had 140 people there at their beautiful showroom in Maddington, and the Crickies and Kingshot came up. And the drivers were all there, and they are so excited to be actually just racing at home. And, you know, it's sort of cool. It sort of goes back to your bit of roots. You know, obviously they're a professional team, and they've got... But the beauty of it is they've been able to keep their racing team crew chief employed. The driver gets the opportunity that he perhaps would never have happened if World Series was still happening, because they'd still have an international driver in the car. So out of their Bunbury base, some great things have come for them to race in Perth. And, you know, 27 sprint cars for his first hit out is just awesome. And there's a couple of guys that are going to race the King of Wings in a fortnight's time after Powerpalooza for King of Wings. And we actually think we could crack in, you know, 30-odd sprint cars. So things are looking really good across the board in all the classes. There's so much excitement in the air that the sport is going through. And certainly, you know, and the same in drag racing. Their numbers are growing immensely. Great competitor numbers. And obviously, being Wander out yonder, why don't you wander down to the Perth Motorplex? That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, mate. So Saturday the 31st of October, where it is a motorsport feast, everyone. Speedway, drag racing and burnouts. Mate, beyond that, when is the, for the purists that are tuned in tonight, when's the very big first Speedway meeting? I know all the details you can find out at motorplex.com.au, but when's the big meeting beyond that?
Yeah, the 14th of November, being the start of Field Smash, King of Wings. And so that will be an absolute barn burner. We've got, I think, even the limited sprint cars, which obviously a lot of country guys come for that, car, as you're aware of. And from what I can gather,
they look like having, they could end up with over 30 plus limited sprint cars from all over the state to race at this, because they just, it's sort of almost like the opportunity that they get to race or get to participate on the under the bright lights. It's sort of like getting to play at the MCG for these people, and they really embrace it, and it's just a wonderful thing. You know, guys from Geraldton, Margaret River, Carnarvon, Esperance, you know, Kalgoorlie, and it's just, it's so exciting for these guys. They get the opportunity to race on the big show, so they love it. We've done another deal again with Seven Mate and Channel 7, and we've got our TV shows as well, and there's about six of them throughout the summer. So those nights, if people can't get in, naturally there's nothing like being at the racetrack, as you know, Carl, but if you can't get there, usually a couple of weeks after those events, they'll be showcased on Night Thunder program on 7 Mate on Sunday afternoons at about 3 o'clock.
Beautiful. And the Car Busters Demolition Derby is also on that night, which always ends with a bang. Thank you, mate. Comprehensive as usual, and we'll speak to you again soon. Thanks, Gav.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Adam. Really looking forward to it. Hey, listen, Adam, we've got to probably get you down to do a race call one night. I reckon that's our challenge for you at some stage this season.
Get him down there for the 14th, mate, while I'm fishing. I've already told you I can't come. I'll try and rope him in.
Any motorsport or anything like that before.
You could do it all right. You just sit there with your binoculars.
You should just come down and give it a taste test.
Why not? I can guarantee I probably won't be as excitable as Carl is, but I'll give it a crack.
He gets going. We've heard you at it. Thanks, Gav. Good on you, mate.
Take care. I've heard you do your footy. Good on you, guys.
Yeah, he does a good job, and he could do Speedway on his ear. We'll come back, and I will be interrogated by Adam Papalia for my Cox Plate tips. Hopefully we can give you some money for the weekend to go and spend. That next here on Sports.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Adam Papalia, Carl Langdon. Carl, I want to get your Cox Plate tip for tomorrow. Surely there's a WA connection that takes it out tomorrow.
Well, you know there is, because I already told you.
No, but is it going to be Damien Oliver or as the WA connection, or is it going to be Arcadia Queen and Willie Pye?
Well, I'm hoping, because the all West Australian connection, Bob Peters owned, Grant Nalana Williams trained, and ridden by Willie Pike, that is the true Western Australian connection. Whilst Damien is a Western Australian, he hasn't lived in Western Australia for a long time. I just hope that Armory, one of the overseas horses, doesn't spoil the local party, and Russian Camelot is going to be about the mark. So 9, 12 and 11 perhaps for me, but it'll be a big race. Probabil number 13 is also one that you can throw into the melting pot. That's all we've got time for tonight. Thanks for your company here on Sports Day. We'll see you again on Monday from 6.